Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. I am the blue liner on point, and we're in full swing mode in the playoffs. And yeah, boy, it's that time of year again, isn't it? Look, I'm going to be both a realist and an optimist here. As we all know, it's we're recording the show now, it's Tuesday afternoon. Caps are down 2-1 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. We all know what's happening here and what has to happen. But before I get into any sort of the breakdown into the series, I want to speak to Caps fans in general out there who are listening. You on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. I took the liberty of doing something I don't like to do, and that's perusing the message boards of the various pages, blogs, etc., Russian Machine Never Breaks, and other various Caps fans pages. And while I can understand the ill will, the negativity, the mentality of here we go again, I can understand all of that, though we're technically only halfway through the series. It ain't over yet, folks, but more on that later. I am greatly disturbed and bothered by the way we're treating each other. I'm seeing a trend where there seems to be a lot of verbal abuse between different camps of Caps fans, some of which may have been following the team longer than others. There is no, never has been and never should be, any sense of privilege. I don't feel more privileged than a Caps fan that decided to follow the team this year. Okay. And this would be the 40th year I'm following the team, which, makes me pretty old. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't like the way the fans are treating each other on the message boards. And I have one message. Stop it. Okay. There's no need for it. There is no need for personal attacks. There's no need for anybody to feel more privileged over one another group than I just want it to stop. Okay. You can debate strategy, you can debate players, you can debate situations, you can debate stats, but keep it at that level, okay? There is no need to go after and make personal attacks towards one another, okay? Keep it on an intellectual level, please, okay? Throw out statistics, throw out strategy, throw out history, okay? Put things in perspective, because all in all, this is still just hockey. And this is coming from somebody that has followed this team for 40 years. A lot of highs, a lot of lows. Okay. This is still hockey. Okay. If you look outside, there's sunshine. There's a cool breeze blowing. There's flowers. There's trees. There's everything's in full bloom. It's spring. It's 75 degrees outside. It's a wonderful day. Enjoy it. Yes, our hockey team ain't doing so well right now. That's the truth. We could be doing better, but you know what? It could also be a lot worse. Life could be a lot worse. Trust me. Okay, I'm not going to start telling everybody to sing Kumbaya or anything like that, okay? Not going to go that route. But please, if you're going to debate hockey, you're going to debate Caps hockey, do it sensibly. Do it the right way. Do it with some decorum and certainly a lot of knowledge. Don't allow things to deteriorate to a level where other fan bases will be justified to make fun of Caps fans and make us out to be what they think that we really are, which we're not. We're just as knowledgeable as any other fan base. But if we sink to that level, we sink to the garbage level of calling each other names, and attacking each other personally instead of attacking each other's argument. Come on, we're better than that. That's all I want to say about that. So, moving on. Speaking of fan bases, at the same time, okay, ladies and gentlemen, the Toronto Maple Leafs fans are happy, and they should be. They are delirious over what's happening right now. They are cow jumped over the moon, lottery ticket winning, best meal I ever ate, sated by the best prostitute in the world, couldn't pry the grins off their faces with a sandblaster, happy. And they ought to be. You know why? Because nobody gave this team a chance, and they are halfway through to winning. So don't begrudge the Leafs fans for feeling the way they do. They are delirious right now. Nobody ever thought they would be two wins away from advancing to the second round. And yet, there they are. And you know why? Nobody thought they could get this far. And as one commentator said, they're playing with house money. Well, maybe the Caps should embrace that mentality. In fact, Puck Podcast just put out a tweet that said basically that since a lot of you people are jumping off the bandwagon, maybe they can embrace that mentality. Maybe they can finally figure out, okay, well, everybody thinks we're going to eventually lose this series. Maybe we ought to play like we have nothing to lose. And maybe they should. Maybe that was the problem all along. But again, to the Caps fans, folks, I want to be very clear on this. Listen to my voice. This is what happens during playoff hockey. Crap like this happens. It is possible to come back from a 2-1 deficit. Now, I'm not singing Sunshine, the song of sunshine and lollipops, and that everything's going to be great. Of course not. It's going to take a lot of hard work. And it starts with the Caps embracing this mentality that they had with the will over skill rope. Okay? They didn't show a whole lot of will after the second period. I think they let that late goal deflate them too damn much. All right? You should never allow anything like that to happen within the last 2 minutes of a period. But guess what? It happened. It happened because they collectively took their foot off the gas. Everybody saw it. It was obvious. On top of that, the defensive coverage was ca-ca. It was just awful. But more on that later on. But the whole team mentality, I don't know what happened. But after that 5-on-3 failed and other subsequent power plays weren't converted, they just decided, okay, they'd worn out the other team enough. They'd worn out the Leafs enough so that they can just sit back and rely on a mistake. Well, that ain't how playoff hockey's played. And it surprised the hell out of me that they have not learned that lesson. And it disgusts me, honestly. But again, as a whole, I think the defensive units played poorly. They didn't play like they should have. Now, if you're a believer in plus-minus stats, and a lot of folks aren't, understandably, because they tend not to tell the whole story, but just one glance at that shows that Kevin Shattenkirk and Brooks Orpik each were a -2 in this game. I don't care who you are. That's bad. That's terrible. That's awful. Now, by comparison, Nate Schmidt was a +2. And of course, he was filling in for Carl Alsner. And everybody else was either an even +1 or -1. Now, moving on to Schmidt. I realize he's got his fans. And I can't say that I'm one of them because I'm sorry, I'm still not overly impressed by him. Now, yes, he might have been a +2. Yes, he was a factor on the opening goal scored by Nicklas Backstrom. But he was also a factor in the Leafs' first goal by Austin Matthews, where the puck hit him in the helmet or the face shield or wherever it was, and he lost track of it, and Austin Matthews slammed it in. So, let me ask you this, Schmidt fans. Would Carl Alsner have let that happen to him? Would Brooks Orpik have let that happen to him? Would Kevin Shattenkirk have let that happen to him? I'm inclined to think no. I'm sorry. I don't think Schmidt has rounded into enough of a four. I still think he is at best a sixth or seventh D that is on the fringe. I don't think he gets it. I mean, everybody loves his smile, his positive mentality, and he's infectious, and I get all that, and you want to gravitate to that, but I'm sorry, when it's all said and done, all that counts is results. And yeah, he was a plus two, and yeah, he was involved in the first goal, and overall, his game was serviceable enough, but take away that mistake, take away that goal, and different outcome maybe. I don't know. He's giving the effort. I think he gives an honest effort. I think he's good enough, barely, but I don't get the whole, well, he's better than Orpik. He ought to be in the lineup instead of Orpik or Alsner or half the defense. Give him a chance. Well, guess what? They gave him a chance. They still lost. My thing is, yes, he did good things, but were his good things enough of a difference? No, he can't make up for dumb things that his other line mates do, or his other teammates for that matter. But my thing is he the difference versus someone like a Carl Alsner or a Brooks Orpik? I don't know that he is. Now, one game, sure, not enough of a litmus test. So we'll see. Now, reportedly, Alsner is also going to be out for game four. So, he's going to get another sweater for that game as well. So we'll see. But right now, I'm just not convinced. I'm not convinced enough that he's going to be the difference. So, I mean, that's my take on it. I get why a lot of Caps fans believe he should be in the lineup. He should be getting more playing time. But while he does good things, I don't think he does good things on the other side. I don't think he does enough good things on his own end of coverage. And right now, that's where the Caps are lacking. That's where they need to improve desperately. Because if you noticed a couple of those goals, the defensive zone coverage was just awful. The Leafs were allowed to run around and do pretty much whatever they wanted. They were getting bodies in front of the net, and that's another lesson the Caps should learn. That's another thing they should take away from the opposition. I didn't see nearly enough bodies in front of the net in either the power play nor during 5-on-5 play. And what the hell is with not shooting at the net, not even trying to shoot at the net, in the last 20 friggin' minutes of regulation? I don't understand that. I just don't get what happened between the end of the second period and the end of the third period. It's as if somebody had gone to everybody, gone to the whole lineup up and down and told them that their mother had just died and nothing else they did mattered. It's what they played like. It's what they looked like. They looked and played like they were in a beer league game, and, you know, they, weren't even going to get free pizza afterward or something like that. I gotta make it sound realistic here, but that's what I saw. And I'm sure that's what a lot of you saw. And I get your frustration, but now, here's the thing. Now is not the time to stick your head in the oven, contemplate jumping off the Wilson Bridge or anything like that. Now is not the time to do that. We know they're coming home for at least one more game. And I know this much. If I were going to be at that game, I'd be screaming my head off. So you guys that are going to be there that have a ticket, you need to do that. Whether it's tied or they come back, or they don't come back and it's 3-1. Either way, you guys need to make your presence felt. But let me go back to the overall play. Yes, the lack of conversion on the 5-on-3 and the hit post later in the game. Yes, it was damning. And yeah, I mean, I want to address that now because a lot of folks want to excuse the team and say, well, it was bad bounces, bad puck luck, goofy stuff happening. No. No, no, no. We can't go into this battered wife syndrome. We can't go back into this thinking that this team has to rely on excuses. I'm sorry. Collectively, they earn millions of dollars a year for moments like this. And so when you have a yawning net in front of you and the game is on the line and literally on your stick, and you have a shot to bury a team that has been causing you problems and advance to that next level, guess what? You gotta make that shot. You gotta put that puck in the net. And there's a movie about the life of Maurice Richard called The Rocket. And in one scene, the coach has a full-size net in the locker room. And he takes a puck in his hand. And he gathers the team around and said, gentlemen, I don't understand what your problem is with putting this little thing inside of this big thing. And folks, that's what it comes down to. Yes, Frederik Andersen is playing very well, but he can be beat. And it's going to be a lot easier to beat him if somebody parks their rear end in his face. And the other four start shooting. Makes it a lot easier to put that little thing inside of that big thing. Are y'all getting my drift here? I hope you are. Now, the numbers, you look at the numbers and or the stats and all the different factors, it's hard to put your finger on one thing. It's a combination of things. I mentioned some of it already. Caps took their foot off the gas. The D zone coverage was horrific overall. And the power play didn't do what it was supposed to do. Those are just a handful of things. Now, there was the official quote unquote report is that the top line, Alex Ovechkin in particular, And I'm going to read, I'm going to dig it up straight from the NHL app. Okay. I'm going to read it here. According to the official statistician's report, Alexander Ovechkin only had 15 minutes and 8 seconds of ice time the whole game. I couldn't believe that when I saw that. And by comparison, Nicklas Backstrom had 17 minutes and 30 seconds. And we got to go all the way down to TJ Oshie, and he had 18 minutes and 37 seconds. I couldn't believe that, but I thought, okay, so it, assuming this is true, then what was Coach Trotz thinking? But then I did a little bit more digging, and Isabel Kershudian, who's the beat writer for the Caps for the Washington Post, said, you know what? There's no way this is right. There's just no way. Because she counted several shifts, at least one in particular, where Alex Ovechkin was timed on the ice for 45 seconds, and the official report was 8 seconds for that shift. Yes, the box score does record each and every single shift that he takes. So that's the NHL app. You can look it up. So I'm more than a little puzzled. But Isabel Kershudian's doing the digging now. I'm not sure that's right. I can't see Barry Trotz not putting the best players out there for at least 20 minutes. That's what I would do. Unless we don't know something. Unless there's another injury. Unless there's something we just don't know about. And this being the playoffs, we're probably not going to know until it's all over. But fact of the matter is, what we should have known all along is that this series was not going to be any cakewalk. And I figured the Leafs would steal at least one game and play somewhat competitive, but they wouldn't win out. Now they're halfway there. So they're not what we thought they would be. To twist a quote oft played in a soundbite in a lot of sports radio talk shows. They're not what we thought they were. They're a lot better than we thought they were. But I also saw a team, despite its foibles, despite its incompetent play in its own end, that was able to keep up with the team. I don't think the Leafs' speed is as scary as some in the media would make it out to be. I think we can skate with this team. The problem is, what happens when the speed stops and the Leafs gain the zone? That's the problem. Capitals have to learn to cover that area of the ice much better. And it's not happening. Right now, it's not happening. So Todd Reirden, I don't know what he needs to do other than sit everybody down and say, look, here's the video. Here's what we're doing wrong. They're moving the puck like it's a road apple on fire here, and we're standing around. And that's, to me, that's the problem. Everybody's standing around. Nobody's moving around. Now, game two, yeah, they had a couple of unfortunate incidents with John Carlson needing some stick'em, apparently, because he couldn't hang on to his stick. I don't know what happened there, but point being, overall, there just needs to be better play on that end. Look, they take care of their own end. If they take care of their own end, I think there's going to be less of a problem. Right now, they look like they're not sure about what to do in their own end. And that, right now, to me, that's where it starts. This mentality of not deciding to quit playing 2/3 of the way into the game. I thought they learned that lesson already. It is entirely frustrating. It is infinitesimally, I don't even know if I said that right, but you know what I mean. It is infinitely frustrating that they have not learned that lesson in this, the most important moment of the hockey year. I feel like a parent of a malcontent child. What do I have to do? Do I have to beat the crap out of you? Do I have to call the police on you? What do I have to do? What do we have to do to get this team to remember to play a 60-minute game? Obviously, it's going to take, and it's going to take more than 60 minutes, obviously. They should have won a game in regulation by now. And Mike Vogel, in his coverage of today's practice, today's optional practice that was attended by a lot of the Caps, I'll have you know, said that his opinion was that the Caps are damn lucky, not his words, mine, that they're not down 3-0 because of how evenly this has been played. And for, I would say, 55% of last night's game, the Caps were the better team. But the Leafs were the better team when it counted. You see where I'm going with this? I don't think I'm saying anything that's blowing anybody's mind here. I think I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. So that said, if you listen to not only Coach Trotz, but the different players when they were interviewed, they know what to do. They know what they need to do. They just have to do it. Guy I used to work with in a job I held 20 years ago. All right. I was packing magazines in a supermarket, and I was just a young kid. I didn't know much at the time. And I thought, wow, this is going to take forever. Just doing this one store. And they ask you to do like 2-3 stores in a day, but this one store was huge. And I thought, geez, I'm never going to finish this, not in one day. And the guy training me kept saying to me over and over again, son, ain't nothing to it but to do it. And that's what it comes down to. I said before, will over skill. Does this team want to win the cup or not? Does this team want to get the monkey off its back? Does this team want to finally go to that next level? Do they have that desire? Because that's all you need. They don't have to make the Leafs scared of them. They just have to keep up with them. And they just have to want it more. And for a good portion of these past three games, they haven't looked like they've wanted it more. And, you know, that really, it is just that simple. I want to make a bit of a standout point here. As I just said, for the most part, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to make a point that nobody else is making here, other than Schmidt. Should he be in the lineup or not? That whole debate. Well, as long as Alsner is not 100%, that question, that argument is moot. But speaking of the decor, personally, despite the Shattenkirk miss, despite Brooks Orpik and his wanting to be a stuntman for 10 minutes, I personally thought the worst defenseman of the night was Matt Niskanen. I every time I saw him on the ice and there was either a PK or something, he would go behind the net and he'd throw out that weak-ass clear. And the Leafs would keep it in the zone, and I would be pulling my hair out. I really thought he was better than that. In the regular season, he was. But I think he definitely needs to get better if this team has a chance. Niskanen was the one that I thought, at least in some spurts, was the best out of all seven regularly playing, counting Shattenkirk, regularly playing defensemen. And I still think Shattenkirk is somewhat of the mentality that he has to try harder than he should. And I think he needs to stop that. Now, a little bit of a segue from that. I also want to throw something out there on behalf of one of my good friends, solid supporter of the podcast, my friend Pete Fisher. He told me something that resonated with me. He said a friend of his that is also a Caps fan that lives near him out west, in the Phoenix area, out in Arizona. He told him, and I'm sorry I forgot his name, but he told him that the Caps problem is that they dominate in the regular season and that there's nothing wrong with that. But then they hit the playoffs and instead of sticking to their game, they feel like they have to kick it up a notch, find another gear. And in some sense they do, but while they do that, instead of the result that they're looking for, they get the exact opposite. In other words, they're trying too hard. And I really think that that might be the case here, except for the last 25 minutes of last night's game, where they just stopped playing. So I think that in and of itself is also another part of it. But if it's, that's another layer of frustration we the fans have to endure, because they should know by now mentally what it takes. So I just got a tweet from Ed Frankovic. I'm going to read it right now. So a little too much is being made of Leafs' speed. They're winning because they're playing harder, winning more board battles, and smarter. Bingo! The Caps can skate with this team. The Caps' 5-on-5 play isn't really all that bad. Until the Leafs, like I said, the Leafs gain the zone, and they're moving the puck more, and like Ed just said, they're winning the board battles. They're winning the races. Have I said this before? Has this been said before? The 98 Cup Finals. Winning too many. We're losing too many battles. Too many races. Name that and claim it. Yes, Ron Wilson. We know what has to be done. The team, more importantly, know to a man what has to be done. The coaches should know what has to be done. But it's not the Leafs' speed that's killing them. It's when they gain the zone and when they start moving the puck around and who wins the race to the puck to the board. Who wins the right to clear it out? Who is wants it more when there's a scrum and tries to dig the puck out? It's those little things that add up to so much. And as he always does, Ed Frankovic nails it right on the head. Now, his boss, Nestor Aparicio of WNST.net, asked what I thought was a pretty good question on the post-game presser with Coach Trotz. And I'll paraphrase here, but basically what he asked was what's the difference between the result of the play from the regular season game, the last regular season game where they won 4-1, besides other than the fact they were playing against a backup goalie, and now, and Trotz gave a pretty good answer. They were on the back end of a back-to-back, so they weren't playing everybody they should have. They were playing their backup goalie. They weren't necessarily at 100% maybe. So those of you out there who look at that game and look at now and say, well, wait a minute, where's this team been all along? Well, there's your answer. So, Nestor Aparicio asking a very good question. For those of you who were wondering, that's the difference. So now that the coaching staff knows that this team ain't going away. The Leafs aren't going away. They're not going to be a pushover. They're not what everybody thought they were. It's time to buckle down and make the effort. And that's, yes, I understand that's probably the 8 kerjillionth time I've said that during this episode. Well, in a galaxy far, far away, in another time, in another land, another place, what have you, another life, I did the time warp with Riff Raff, Magenta, and all them. In that part of my life, I was a teacher. And one of the things they taught you in how to teach was sometimes you have to say something. If you want to hit home, you want to hit a concept home with somebody, sometimes you have to say it over and over and over and over again. So if I'm repeating myself, I'm not going to apologize for that. But again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. All right. And yeah, okay. So another gem of a tweet from Ed Frankovic. Nylander's goal was a 2-on-4. Both Caps D and 65 chased Hyman. Eller chased Matthews. 22 should have let 44 take 11. Panic in defensive zone. So what he's saying is Shattenkirk's coverage sucked. They both, him and Orpik, were on the, and I noticed this too, only on the offensive side. They were all on one wing. They were all on one side of the ice. But yeah, this spot on, this exactly matching up with what I said. The D zone coverage is garbage. It's dung on ice right now. It's terrible. Speed doesn't matter once you've gained the zone. What matters once you've gained the zone is puck movement. And the Caps D aren't doing anything right now to curtail enough of the cycling and the puck movement that right now the Leafs are executing to a superior level over the Caps. I would say that's got to improve, and that's where everything needs to start, in our own zone. I'm not saying I found the secret, or perhaps maybe Ed has, I don't know. But I think if everything starts there with more consistent and overall better quality coverage so that the Leafs don't get a chance to get their offensive mojo going, pardon the pun, I think good things will start to happen. So I'm pretty much run out of things to say, so I'm going to stop it here. Next game, of course, is tomorrow night, Air Canada Center, 7 o'clock puck drop, 7:05 puck drop. And yeah, they know what to do. They know what to do. And no matter what happens tomorrow night, there's going to be one more home game, at the very least. So those of you who are going to be attending, scream your throats out. Make a lot of noise, screw up all the positive energy within you that you can, and put it out there. Because it will make the difference. I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Fans attend games, fanatics help win them. We need to be fanatics. So I'm not going to make any excuses for this team. Yeah, the penalty at the end sucked. I wasn't blind to that. I was throwing popcorn kernels at the TV myself when that happened. Yeah, they got screwed on a couple of calls, but if you think about it, so did the Leafs. I think the officiating has been awful all around, to be honest with you. So that's a wash. But it begins with better D-zone coverage and ends with the mentality of you don't stop playing till the final buzzer. It's that simple. And we all know that. It just has to be shown on the ice. So it's our responsibility as fans, to remind the team of that. And that's our job going into these next two games. So with that, it's not over yet. Don't get down. It's been done before. You can win 3 games. After losing the first two and only winning one, you can win out and advance. It's happened before. It can be done. And it can be done by this team. No reason to panic. But you got to do what you got to do. So with that, I say, let's go Caps.